Hi, I'm Chris Kepler, and welcome to Does This Happen to You? I'm an actor, voice actor, audiobook narrator, and writer. I love reading, pondering, and sharing humorous stories about the freakish things that happen in everyday life. That's why this podcast features funny stories from fantastic writers about our daily aberrations, a micro-audiobook about life and befuddlement just for you. Our story this week is from Adeline Dimond, who you'll find on Medium.com. And here is, Food is So Last Year. I've eaten everything. There is nothing left to eat. Food and I have broken up. Lose my number, Food. Last Friday, an old friend, a new friend, and I tried out a new restaurant in Los Angeles, steps away from the LA River. We were all influenced by the restaurant's Instagram account and the buzz surrounding the revitalized, or recklessly gentrified, depending on your politics, neighborhood, Frogtown. It was great, and by that I mean it was just okay, because anything that passes for fine dining or new cuisine is no longer interesting. We had shoestring potatoes, fish dip with homemade saltines, a grilled salad that required a steak knife to slice through it, cool gimmick, I guess, soft-shell crab, pea risotto, and a rhubarb tart. It all tasted good, but I did not care one bit. I might as well have been eating turkey sandwich on wheat bread, hold the mayo. Something fucked up is afoot, and that fucked up thing is that Food has finally pushed it too far. There are too many people Instagramming food, too many people on Yelp writing paragraph after paragraph about whether a pear crostata was too sweet, too many choices. Restaurants are now working under the authoritarianism of Instagram and TikTok, making food visually stunning and then giving up. And then we all dutifully show up and snap a photo. It's the law. In order to keep us in this endless power loop, restaurants are now putting mounds of caviar on anything and everything, or drowning things in cheese so some influencer will snap a shot. They're doing this even though caviar only belongs on blinis and maybe Yukon Gold potatoes, or perhaps, a potato chip. In 2014, a food truck in Seattle put truffles and caviar on a hot dog and decided to charge $169 for it. I rest my case. The reporter who covered this tried to be unbiased, but you could feel his contempt seeping through when he wrote, "If you want to get your hands on one of these, they're on sale at Tokyo Dog for special events and require 2 weeks' notice. Or you could just keep your $169 and buy yourself one hot dog from a street cart every day for the next several months. Either way." Either way, indeed. We were like frogs in boiling water watching this unfold, not realizing that restaurants would eventually go into their current death spiral. Or at least I was. But while I was digging into under-seasoned risotto that costs $30, it finally hit me. I guess I've eaten everything now. There is nothing left to eat. There is nothing that will excite me or make me think about it a day later, let alone a week later. At 52, I've finally overdone it, and there is just nothing left to eat. This, of course, reminds me of vibrators. Getting a vibrator is real fun, but use it too much and you numb yourself to real human touch. And that's what I've done with food. Nothing moves me anymore because my nerves are shot. I thought about my dead-end nerve endings as I lay in bed after that dumb dinner in a food coma that was not worth it. Now what? Then I came up with an alternative theory that I might be dying. I've heard that towards the end of life, people stop eating as much. They aren't hungry, and they just don't care. Then I thought about what my last meal would be if I were on death row. Over the years, I've had an unhealthy obsession with this macabre ritual, like the time that a death row inmate tried to donate the money for his last meal, but they wouldn't let him. I've eaten all over the world, from Europe to Asia to Central America, and at all these stupid fancy restaurants in Los Angeles and New York, and yet my last meal would probably be a grilled cheese sandwich, or maybe spaghetti with tomato sauce. I don't expect to be on death row, so this is only a hypothetical exercise, and everyone knows that you shouldn't traffic in hypotheticals because your anxiety will go off the charts. All I know is that I don't want to go to a fancy restaurant ever again. I just want to eat old-school grandma food, bagels and lox, arroz con pollo soup. This is somewhat liberating and will likely do a lot toward curing my massive credit card debt. But my friends are horrified, especially my friend Allison. When I mentioned that I was done with any menu that has the word seasonal on it, and that I'd rather just go to Versailles, a gem of a Cuban restaurant, she yelled, "But that's where we went when we didn't have money." She's right. We did stop going to Versailles the more money we made. But this was a grave mistake. The terrible secret is that the more expensive the food, the newer it is, the more Instagrammable, the more disappointing it is. Pass the stew. Years ago, when I was living in New York, a friend of mine and I drove an hour deep into Queens to go to a Red Lobster. We did it ironically and with a heavy dose of snark, but it was great. The servers moved through the restaurant like ballet dancers, everything was efficient, people were friendly, and most importantly, there were no stupid human food tricks. Sure, it was fatty and the sodium was off the charts, but that's a different problem. The American palate has lost its way and become addicted to extreme flavors and textures. See Hot Cheetos. This is also a food as vibrator problem, but let's tackle that another day. Then last week, I went to Houston's, which is also a chain restaurant, but slightly fancy. This particular location is impossible to get into. The line is always snaking out the door, even on a Tuesday night. Their food is uncomplicated. Sole with coleslaw. Steak with a baked potato. A roasted chicken. This is, at the end of the day, what everyone wants to eat. But at least in vapid, influencer lousy Los Angeles, no one will admit it. But I, for one, am coming clean. I am done. Now please excuse me while I make a tuna fish sandwich. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this story, let me know and share it with your friends. Follow me at Chris Narrates on Twitter or Chris K. Kepler on Facebook, or check out my website, chriskepler.com.